I am glad to be here with you today. Today we're speaking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, today is the beheading of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who is this John the Baptist? First of all, he is the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Second of all, he was prophesied. He was prophesied that he would go before the Lord to prepare his way, to bring his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. This John the Baptist, this man that was wild, he was a wild man, found in the desert eating locusts and honey. Locust is from the tree of the locust tree, the fruit of the locust tree, not grasshoppers. And honey, crying out, repent, prepare the way of the Lord, repent. I tell you, if we needed anybody now, we needed John the Baptist. We need people that would come and tell us to repent. We do not need people to come and tell us how good we are, because you want to know what? We're not good. We are not good. Today at Planned Parenthood, 30 people probably went in to kill their children, and the church was not around, because the church is too prissy, and we don't do things like that, as they say in the Archdiocese of Boston. That is not the way that we do things. That's the big excuse. We don't do things like that. Just like an Auschwitz, we don't do things like that. We don't stand outside giving the people the last hope that we can help you. You see, we don't do things like that because we're the Catholic Church. We don't want to let anyone think that. We want to interfere with their lives. Well, you see, when it comes to killing children, I want to interfere with people's lives. I really do. I really want to interfere with people's lives. But you see, the Catholic Church needs to hear a story of repentance, a story of repentance from people like John the Baptist, because we are the church that Christ founded. And if we are the church that Christ founded, we have great responsibility. You know, it makes me laugh to see that people like John Enzor, you know, he is the one that has developed ultrasounds that if a woman wants to check about their baby, that we go to the Protestant people for ultrasounds, where we have the biggest church in the Archdiocese. You know, Boston is the church, the Catholic Church, and yet we don't have any of that set up. It takes a man like John Enzor who takes the bull by the horn and says, we're going to set up a clinic, a real clinic for women. And you know what they're thinking of? They're going to have their clinic right on the same street as Planned Parenthood, like a half a block away or a block away. It's very interesting, you see, that here we have the Catholic Church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church that's supposed to be leader in these things, and we are the sleeping giant. We're too busy with lawyers, my friends. You see, we need people like John the Baptist to say, repent, 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 turn away from your sins. This is reality, okay? This is real. This is like, I'm not onto the reality shows on television, but this is reality. Somebody like John Enzor gets his name in the front of Yellow Pages, A Woman's Concern, while the Catholic Church, we are the sleeping giant. We do nothing. Oh, yeah, we have an office in Natick. Yeah, we're going to have women from Dorchester traipsing out to Natick. Yeah, that's just fine. Isn't that wonderful? repent, church, because if you do not repent, God will strip you lower than the manger. That's right. That's what he told me several years ago. Until my church repents, I am going to strip her more and more until she is lower than the manger. He did call his church my church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic. I'm going to strip her lower than the manger. That's right. Lower than the manger. We are supposed to be the leaders. We are supposed to be Lumen Gentium. That's what the document says. Lumen Gentium, the light of the nations. In front of me, I have this beautiful, beautiful picture of lighthouses. Oh, yeah. We are to be the Catholic Church, the lighthouse in the darkness. But we are much more into lawyers, much more into how can we be safe, rather than, you know, they are killing children at Planned Parenthood. We need to get our people out there to pray the rosary. We need to get our people out there to offer another solution, not to wait and see what's happening in Natick, because they will not go to Natick. But it's all about being formal, and we don't want to take this route. Oh, yeah, that's what they tell me. We've decided to take another route. Like the thing, the route with Mr. Kennedy, okay? I remember talking about Mr. Kennedy with Cardinal Law, or at least with his people. They said, our route is not to excommunicate Mr. Kennedy, but to talk to him personally. Well, are we talking to Mr. Kennedy personally? It's like talking to the devil right now, because he's not repented. Now, I'm not saying he's beyond repentance. He's the one that initiated the partial birth abortion bill. But you know what? The partial birth abortion bill used to take the baby halfway out of the womb and slit the throat. Now they don't do it now. Now, while the child is in the womb, because they can't do it legally the other way, they inject the child and kill the child now. So they're still doing it. That's right. And not a voice to be heard. Not a voice to be heard. We have Auschwitz right in Brighton, and nobody says a word. Manga na parola. Manga na parola. Mancuna parola. Not a word. Today is the feast of John the Baptist. You notice that I'm trying not to be loud today. I am trying to be composed today. But if John the Baptist were here, we would hear, repent! That's what we would hear. We would hear, repent, repent, repent. Turn away from your sins. Turn away from your sins. Turn away from your sins. And he would be speaking to the Catholic Church, Lumen Gentium, the light of the nations. Our people are trained on pablum. We give our Catholic people pablum. Come on, babies, we want to spoon feed you now. Come on. Come on, you have a little bit of pablum today. Oh, yeah, you're 97 years old and you're eating pablum. You're 45 years old and you're eating pablum. You're 33 years old and you're eating pablum. You're 18 years old. And we feed them pablum. That's what we do. We feed them pablum because, you see, we don't want to give people meat because lest they change. Lest we have to speak a hard word. Yet we are the only church that will celebrate today the beheading of John the Baptist, the martyrdom of John the Baptist, the blood that the Baptist shed in order to do the will of God. You see, when you are a witness, the word witness means martyr. But the church does not want to be a martyr. The church wants to be a pablum feeder. Let us feed our people pablum. Give me a royal break. John the Baptist would put every bishop, even the good bishops, in line. Not only John the Baptist, but every one of the saints. Every one of the saints. The Curia of Ars. I read his sermons and I have to close the book, because they're too much for me. But yet we had the heart of the Curia of Ars come to Boston, and, you know, we're going to venerate his heart or venerate his bones or whatever we venerated. I'd much rather listen to his sermons. I'd much rather hear, you know, John Vianney, the Curia of Ars, said to his people hundreds of years ago, you people are going to hell because you've got a form of religion. That's what he says. If you don't change, you're going to hell. You have a form of religion. He is the patron of the diocesan priests. He sounds more like John the Baptist than any sweet little Curia of Ars. We make him a sweet little Curia of Ars. When he says to us, to his people, and I would say his people were much more Catholic than we are today, if you don't change, you're going to hell. You people have a form of religion, but you don't have the real thing. These are his sermons. These are his sermons. These are his sermons. This is not his heart. This is not his bone that we venerate. These are his words that come from God. This is the man that we venerate as being the patron of the diocesan clergy. And he's more like John the Baptist than any sweet little. I always thought he was some sweet little guy that heard confessions. Yeah, he heard confessions, but I'm going to tell you, he did more than hear confessions. His preaching scares me. That's right. I read his preaching, and I have to close the book because I say, my God, if this is what John Vianney talked about in his day when the people lived the faith, what would he say to us today? Do you understand what I'm saying? But you see, we want to feed our people. Pablum. Honey, come and have some pablum. Come on now, eat your little pablum. No, we don't want to interfere with Planned Parenthood. We don't want to be the light of the nations. We just want to write the documents that we are the light of the nations. But you see, God reads those documents. God reads those documents, beloved. And you know, if when we write, we have to put up. If not, we will be judged. Why do you think the church in the West is dying today? Because we've written the documents, but we're not living the documents. You see, the teacher needs to live what he says. That's why St. James says, let there be few teachers among you. Listen, I'm a teacher. Because the judgment of the teacher will be much more severe than the judgment of other people. That's right. You know what? I speak a lot of words. And I want to tell you one thing. I speak better than I live. I speak better than I live. I'm not ashamed to say it, unfortunately. Because you know what? I live and I limp. I don't speak limping. I walk straight. My back is erect. When I preach, I speak erect. I don't limp, but I don't live as well as I speak. And I will be judged for it. I will be judged for it. I will be judged for it. But you know what? I have to continue to speak, because, you know, I am a voice like John the Baptist crying in the wilderness. Sometimes I wonder if anybody hears me. Sometimes I wonder the things that I say, if anybody hears me. Sometimes I wonder when I call to task the church that I would die for because she gave me my faith, if anyone hears me. that we are responsible as Catholics for what is happening. We are responsible because we have been given the fullness of faith. Sometimes I wonder if anybody hears me. Because you see, I don't speak to make people comfortable. I make myself pretty uncomfortable when I speak. Today at Auschwitz Planned Parenthood, 30 children were killed, ripped out of the womb. I saw the big truck coming to collect the hazardous waste. Yeah, hazardous waste. I said, that's not hazardous waste. Those are arms and legs and heads. And the church has her office in Natick. The church has her office in Natick. We failed in Auschwitz. Not everybody. Pope Pius XII was wonderful. And we failed today. And God will hold us responsible because we feed our people pablum. We feed our people pablum. They kill children, and nobody is there. Thank God for the people who are there. Just last week, a woman was going in. If people like Mary and Eleanor were not there, first Mary who intercepted, and then Eleanor, if they were not there, that baby would be dead today. Do you understand? And I told you the story. While that woman was in the car, she was telling Eleanor that she was on her way to Toulouse to have a job in Toulouse, and it was inconvenient to have a baby. And her lover dumped her, and she loved him with all her heart. Lover wanted nothing to do with the baby or the woman anymore. He's married the pig. He's married. She didn't know that. So Eleanor says, we'll get someone in Toulouse to help you. While they're in the car another time, the phone rang, and it's Ryan Verrett from Louisiana. And he speaks to the young woman in French, and he knows the priest in Toulouse. His parish priest from Virginia, where he was in Virginia last year, is in Toulouse for 6 months. That's how much God values life. That's it. But the church feeds her children pablum. And you who are listening to me, you listen, but how many of you respond? You listen to me. But how many of you respond? You listen to me, but where are you? Like, where are you? What are you doing for the number one issue, life? What are you doing? Are you, you won't go to the abortion clinic. Are you running baby showers? Are you taking young women into your house? Like, what do you do? What do you do? This is Auschwitz, and John the Baptist would say, repent, turn away from your sins, repent. Today is the beheading of John the Baptist, martyr, crying out, repent, 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 repent. Today, if the church was told that her tax-free number was going to be taken away, we'd have every bishop from Alabama unto the last state, Wyoming, complaining and at the different state houses. But they're killing babies in every state today. And how many bishops and how many priests and how many people even care? 4,000 children a day in the United States die. Do do you know that we do not have enough people for the armed services? That if someone wants to go into the army, they are given $20,000 up front? Now, I don't know what you think about our defense system, but do you want to know why we have no defense system? Because we've killed all those people. 4,000 babies a day die in the United States. Do you understand me? We have to bribe people to come into the service now. $20,000 to come into the service. We have to bribe people. You know why? Because we've killed our defense system. I don't know what you think about our defense system. And you know, it really makes no difference what you think. We have a defense system. And they are protecting us. And I want you to know this. We've killed not only our defense system, we've killed the economy. How many more shoes would people be making? How many more shirts? How many more dresses? Yeah. How many more televisions? How many more computers? Yeah. How many more cell phones? Yeah. How many more? How many more CDs? How many more frying pans? How many more pens? How many more glasses? How many more eyeglasses? We've killed our economy because we've killed our children. We've killed the future. And what does the church say? They don't even pray about it, most places, because they think that if they pray about it, there might be someone who had an abortion in the church. No, it has nothing to do with might. Someone had an abortion in the church, and we need to pray about it and offer those people help. But we continue to feed our children, our people, Pablum. So the Lord said, I will bring my church lower than the manger until we repent. This is the day when we celebrate the beheading of the great martyr, John the Baptist. And his words are continually heard today. Repent! Repent! Turn away from your sins. Repent. My friends, let us not celebrate the Baptist unless we do what he says. Repent, every one of us. Repent. Father, I ask for the mercy of God upon our church in the United States, especially upon the Church of Boston. I ask for the mercy of God. I pray that you would do something that only what you can do, because if you fail to do it, we will self-destruct. I pray for your mercy and I pray for your love. I pray that you would conquer us by love and not by wrath. Oh God, forgive us, forgive me, forgive us, forgive us, forgive me. Oh God, stretch out your hand upon this archdiocese and do what only you can do in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, if you don't do something, we truly will disintegrate. Please, God, look upon the blood of Jesus and upon his resurrected wounds. And I ask you, Father, to do something. Start with me. Listen now, I want to tell you, we do need to hear from people because our bills are high and we are $8,000 behind this month and $3,000 last month. That means a deficit of $11,000. So I really need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. You're not going to hear preaching like this from the altar, okay? Even though I preach like this from the altar. That's why I've disseminated. Many people, they've left. But you know what? The Word of God is true. And God called his people to repent, not to eat pablum. I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Also, can I say this to you? On the 4th and the 5th, that's Tuesday and Wednesday, I will be at Bloomfield, Connecticut, St. Thomas Seminary at 7 o'clock in the evening. All my people on WACE, why don't you come on out? We have a wonderful time. This is my 10th year going there. WACE people, come on. I will be in Bloomfield, Connecticut on this Tuesday and Wednesday, the Tuesday after Labor Day and Wednesday. I believe it's the 4th and the 5th. You're welcome to come at 7 o'clock in the evening. And I also want to say this. Tonight is Wednesday. That's our biggest spousal night. Would you pray that there be great healings and miracles, that God would stretch out his hand upon God's people and he'd do new things and work new wonders? Because you see, we need the Lord to do that. That's tonight at the Espousal Retreat House. And their telephone number is 781-209-3101. And we begin Mass at 7:30 tonight. Yes, at the Espousal Retreat House. You're welcome to be there with us tonight. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.